the wisest way possible by learning Torah in an exciting manner. And we have a wonderful lineup for the afternoon, or the early afternoon, and you'll still be able to go on and have lox and bagels in the afternoon if you want, so not to worry. Okay, Dr. Greenspan is the head of our organization, one of the co-founders of P'til Tchelet, a very dear friend, and he, besides being a dentist and my dentist and my kid's dentist, I hope that stays for quite some time. If I'm nice, he might let me stay as his patient. And as long as I hope he won't shoot me up with anything. I see he's he's losing his patience. We know he likes the morning. I don't know why we put him in the afternoon. Anyway, so he has prepared very diligently a new approach, an understanding of the gvanim, of the different shades of Tchelet, and he was going to share that with you today. Of course, everyone should say right after that will be Rabbi Leibowitz, who has come from Woodmere, who has an amazing talk on why the Gedolim don't wear Tchelet. Like that, what do they say, the hidden question, whatever it is, whatever they call it. And then we'll have Rav Halberstam from Lakewood to speak about why this is really the real Tchelet and not something else. So, without any further ado, Dr. Greenspan.
Thank you. I hope to discuss technically, practically, what the color of Tchelet is and explain some of the issues surrounding the choosing of the color and so on. So, let's go, Baruch, first slide. In order to understand something about Tchelet, we have to do very quickly an introduction into color theory. Because it's very easy. We throw around a lot of terms. This is a blue. It's a light blue. It's a teal blue. How do we understand colors? So color theory is very simple. We have three aspects or three parameters that we have to look at. The first is hue, the bottom there. Hue is what we would call the color. What color are we talking about? So if in a minute we'll take a look at a spectrum, you'll understand. We choose the color blue. Whichever shade or wavelength of blue we choose, that's the hue. A second factor that we have is chroma. Chroma we could understand as saturation, meaning there are times I can have a blue that's the same color blue, but one is a richer, one is a deeper color. To our eye, we might make a mistake and say it's a different color, but really it's the same color, it's the same wavelength. You could think about it as being a concentration. If I take twice as much white wool and I put it into two baths, we have 50 grams of wool and 100 grams of wool with the exact same amount of dye, so we're dyeing the exact same color, except one will appear to our eye to be a little bit lighter.
Saturation.
Correct? And the final thing is light and darkness. We can take whatever color we have, but if you make the room dark, 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 or massively light, it'll look white or it'll look black. So light also affects the way we perceive these colors. I just want to show you here an example. Take a look at this blue. Hold on. I need to find this. Hold on for a second, please. Format. Here we go. Okay. If we take a look at this blue, we can see that we have a certain shade of blue. The hue is the color. That's the color. So I can go through the colors of the rainbow here. Whoops. And as I do that, excuse me, let me just get it set up so it's working. As I do that, we should see that the color itself changes. Hold on for one moment.
If you click on the green at the bottom, I think we'll apply it.
You think so? The reason it's not working now is because I'm giving the talk, but of course when I get out, hold on for a second, because it's very instructive. The reason it's not working is because,
is because the format is different because it's on the speaker. I have to show you this because it's very, very important. Hold on for 1 second. Let's go here. 1 second. Okay, let's get this to work now. Let's assume that we're using this color here. As I move this slider over to the right or left, I can change the color here to whichever color we have. It's not working. The bottom one here is
changing.
Okay, fine. So as we move this across, you can see how the bottom one is changing color. This is the hue. So this is the basic color.
It corresponds to the wavelength.
And it corresponds to the wavelength. Okay, so that's what we're looking at here. But if I choose a color blue, I can also affect the saturation, or I can also affect, as we talked a second ago, the lightness and darkness of it because of the amount of dye. So do you see what we're looking at that little box on the bottom? As I affect saturation, 100% saturation, it's the blue color that we chose. But I can also reduce the saturation, less concentration. And to our eyes on the bottom, it looks as if it's getting lighter. But from a purely color point of view, it's the exact same color. And what happens if we take this exact same color and we move it into a dark room? It turns black. So this is also going to be instructive in terms of understanding how Chazal understood when we say Shema. We're looking here at a slew of different colored dyed indigo yarns. And again, we have on every single one of these the indigo molecule. It's the exact same color. The way we see it may be different. So we have to ask ourselves, what language was Chazal using when they talk about color? And when we say, what's the color of Tchelet, might there be other factors than just using the word color? Okay? So we have the same color, maybe different concentrations, maybe different amounts of lightness or darkness. Next one. Also, the question is, what language did Chazal use when they were discussing color? When Chazal used Yarok, Kachol, are they using the same green that we use? So, for example, we have this Gemara. Pam echad halachti lemedinat Kopatka. Kaputkia in Turkey. Ubata isha achat lefanai. A woman came before me. Shemala bana rishon the maid. She did mila on her first son. He died. Sheni the maid. The second one died. Shlishi heviyutu lefanai. They brought the boy before me. Re'itiv shehu yarok. I saw that he was green. Hitzatzdibo v'loriti v'odam brit. I saw he didn't have blood, whatever that means. Amartila hamtini lo achi v'odamo. Stay, wait a little while until his blood comes in. V'himtina lo umalalo oto v'chaya v'yu korin shmo natana bagli al shmi. So she waited and then she did the bris mila. But we know, and this is the way the Shulchan Aruch Paskens, we're talking here not about a green baby, but about a jaundiced baby, a yellow baby. Next picture. So there is nothing, a green baby doesn't exist. A yellow baby exists. And so we're going to see in a minute that this word green plays a tremendous role in defining the color of Tchelet.
Except in that.
Yeah. Lo nafal bo damo. Yeah.
Okay, so is that the jaundice or the yellow?
Okay, leave it. Next. Ketzad Sovinet Tchelet. We're going to look now at a bunch of sources that I believe are confusing regarding the color of Tchelet. Because people will quote a source, and as we're going to see in a minute, a source that appears to be obviously relating to the color of Tchelet, we're going to see in a moment, may not be relating to the color of Tchelet, and helps cause a little bit of confusion regarding what the color is. The Rambam says, Ketzad Sovinet Tzitzit, Lochin Hatzemer, you take the wool, Shorin Oto Besid, you put it in lime, this is what you saw Joel do outside, Ver Achar Kach Mechapsim Oto, Arshi Yeh Naki, you make sure that it's a white, clean piece of wool, Martichim Oto Be'ola, you boil it with a chemical, Chiyot Sebo, Kederach Shatzava Imosim, the way that the dyers do it, Kedeshe Yiklot Eta Ein, so it'll accept the dye, it'll be ready to prepare to accept the dye. You bring the blood or the excretion of the chilazon, which is a fish,
Shadome eino le'ein hayam, somehow it's similar to the sea, v'damo shachor kidyo. So some people want to say, oh, so you see the Tchelet can't be what we're suggesting the Tchelet is, because the Rambam says, damo shachor kidyo. Next picture. This is a vat. It's a shame that we have the skylight right here. This is from one of the trips of collection of dye. And when we do extract the dye from the animal, it ultimately becomes this intense, deep, dark purple, almost black. So this is an example of the Rambam. So the Rambam is talking about the dye. The Rambam is not talking about Tchelet. And we have many examples where the dye or the source of something is different than the final product. So for example, dio. Dio shachor kidio. Dio is made up of two or three different chemicals, kankantum and meafatsim, copper sulfate and tannic acid. And each one of those, one's brown, one's blue, and when you put them together, you get in an intense dark. So the black that the Rambam's referring to, there, Hagav, it's not mentioned anywhere in Chazal, black. It's mentioned in Aristotle, and some want to suggest that the Rambam took this from Aristotle. Black certainly isn't the color of Tchelet. Next picture. This maimer of Rabbi Meir is very well known. Rabbi Meir says, Manishtana Tchelet mikol minei tzivonim. Why is Tchelet different from all other colors? Mipnesha Tchelet doel yam. Tchelet's similar to the sea, and it's similar to the sky, and the sky is similar to the Kisei HaKavod, etc. And it continues. And this maimer of Rabbi Meir appears many times. And this sometimes causes confusion, because everybody wants to say, okay, it's similar to the sea. Okay, but it's also similar to a tree or to grass. Next picture. It's a beautiful picture with some green. Some want to say Tchelet has a greenish color. We're going to look at Rashi in a minute and we'll begin to understand this issue. But one time that the Maimer of Rabbi Meir appears, next picture, it goes so far as to say Tchelet dome la asabim, similar to the grass. Asabim dome la ilanot, similar to the trees. Ilanot l'rakia, trees to the sky, l'rakia l'noga, l'noga l'keshet, to the colors of the rainbow. Ribono shel Olam, Tchelet is whatever color Tchelet is, but Tchelet is clearly not the color of the rainbow. So the question is, what is Rabbi Meir then talking about? He's not giving us here a definition of the color of Tchelet, but rather maybe Rabbi Meir is saying that there's a thought association that brings you from one color to the next, brings you to think of the Shamayim, like Baruch said, the depths of the ocean, the infinity of the sky, and all of a sudden you're thinking of Hashem, u'ra'item oto, u'schartem mikol mitzvot Hashem. Next picture. I think also there's a difference here, because Rabbi Meir is saying the same thing. Rabbi Meir omer, manishtana tchelet mikol minei tzivonim. Tzivonim are dyes. So Tchelet dye may have certain characteristics, and if anybody has actually seen the dye being taken out of the snail, it comes out as a clearish liquid, and it goes through a color transformation, literally through the colors of the rainbow. So maybe Rabbi Meir is saying, the dye of Tchelet, manishtana, Tchelet mikol minei tzivonim, the dye of Tchelet actually is the only dye in the world that goes through a color transformation until it reaches its deepest, darkest purple, mamish the colors of the rainbow. But it's not referring, in this case, to the color of the Tchelet on the wool. Next picture. So what color is Tchelet? This is the Rambam. Tchelet amura batara b'chol makom hu atzemer hatzavua ketok shebakachol. Everywhere it's the color dyed a certain shade of blue. Vizuhi dmut harakia, the color of the sky, hanir'et la'ayin b'toharo shel rakia, the clear blue sky. As a little boy in high school, I heard Rav Soloveitchik, the only note I ever wrote in my Rambam, Rav Soloveitchik gave a shir on Chumash, and he was a very smart man, and all the big rabbis in Manhattan would come and sit around the desk, and the first time he spoke was on this topic, Parshat Shlach, and he said to all these big New York rabbis, I'm speaking about this past week's Parsha. So you have to still think of something to say this coming Shabbos. You have to wait a year to use it. And the only thing I ever wrote in my Rambam, I was maybe in 10th grade, I wrote, the Rav said, what is Taharo Shel Rakia? He says, the midday Palestinian sky. Okay? This picture I took a week ago, unfortunately we have the light, this is the clear blue sky in the middle of the day. And pretty much all Rishonim refer to Tchelet as being a blue color. Next. The Rambam, Etzem HaShamayim LeTorah, the Chizkuni, Mara Shamayim Kishahim Zakim Vitorim, the color of the sky. Rav Sajagon uses the Arabic word, and Rav Kapach translates that word as Gavan HaShamayim. Next. So, apparently the Ched is the color of the sky, and almost all the Rishonim say this, with the exception of Rashi, and we're going to come and deal with Rashi in 1 second. But then there's another aspect. We mentioned the Kala Ila, the fake Kala Ila. And we have this mimer that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shivchanti Bechor B'tipa Bechor B'mitzrayim L'tipa She'ena Bechor. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could distinguish between the firstborn Mitzri and the firstborn Jew. I mean, you have two naked children. How could you know which is Jewish and which is not? Kacha Nivush Atid Li Parami Mi Shetola Kala Ila B'bigdo V'omer Tcheletu. So too, when someone puts this faked Kala Ila on his beged, which is similar or almost the same as Tchelet, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can distinguish between these two colors. He's the one that's going to pay back those cheaters who are pretending to wear Kala Ila. Next. And Rav Tukhachinsky, who wrote in the early 20th century, Irakodesh HaMikdash, was perplexed by the color of Tchelet, and he wrote numerous letters to Rav Herzog. And he got a letter back from Rav Herzog, and this is the letter. Etamareha ha'amiti shel tchelet, the true color of tchelet, asher ladat mitoch kach, we can know from the fact that the kala ilan hayu mezayfin et tchelet, they were faking the tchelet with this kala ilan. The kala ilan hu atzeva hahodi, kala ilan is the Indian color called indigo. Okay? And then Rav Herzog goes on to say that he received a sample. Baruch mentioned this this factory, Fabrique de Gobelin in France, and he says this is the color of Tchelet, and it comes from Kala Ilan, which is indigo. Next. But Rashi presents us with a great quandary, because Rashi says, on this week's parsha, Tchelet, Tzeva Yarok Shel Achila Zar. So I heard somebody give a very novel explanation. Now Rashi wouldn't say that it's green. Tzeva Yaruk Min Achila Zon, a color that spit out of the snail. So I used to like that a lot until I started preparing for this year, and I realized, no, Rashi says Yarok in a different connotation numerous times relating to Tchelet. Rashi also said something that apparently contradicts what he said here, because later on in Parshat Tzitzit, also this week's Parsha, he says, V'chein seva ha-tchelet dome l'rakia ha-mashchir le'et erev. Tchelet is the color of the sky as it gets dark towards the evening. So what is it? Is it green? Is it dark? Black like the Rambam? Next. Rashi appears numerous times referring to it as green. Very unusual story. Chalef Azul Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov. Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov went by. The Yati Beguar Kar De Dahava. He was sitting in a golden cart. Uparis Alei Sarvala De Karti. He had a cloak above him that was karti, looked like karti. What's karti? Leek, right? We all know the Gemara. Me'ematai koron et ha'shema b'shachrit, mishiyakir ben tchelet l'karti. So Rashi says, tseva tchelet doma l'karti. Okay, so what color is karti? Has anybody here ever cooked with leek? What color is leek? It's got a white head like an onion, and its leaves are apparently green. Next. Here we go. This is an example of karti. Rashi in this particular Gemara says Yoroku, the Karov Litzeva Karti Shekorin Firish, and the Latin name is Aliam Poru, Forirish. Okay, but it can't be. It can't be that Rashi is telling us that Tchelet is green. So I did some research into Karti. Next. First of all, Maram Rutenberg tells us Lashon of Chazal Yarok is not green as we understand it. Maram Rutenberg says the following. Bein mare bloy, whether the color of blue, bein mare gel, whether it's the color yellow, bein mare green, kulan bechlal yarokein. So when Chazal use the word yarok, they're not necessarily using the same word yarok for green that we use. So that helps me a little bit with Rashi, because then you could say maybe Rashi is talking about the color blue. But still, Rashi equates karti being similar to the color of Tchelet. And what color is karti leaf? Green. Next picture. We find another case in the Gemara where the Gemara makes reference to karti regarding etrogim. V'loboy hadar, don't we need a hadar esrog? So at what point is the esrog considered to be hadar or not? V'hanan tanan, hayarok kikarti. Now it's not doma lekarti, but Chazal here are making an exact correlation. Green like karti. If it's green, it's kosher, Rabbi Yehuda posel. Why does it have to be this green? Isn't it not because we want to have an ideal color, it should be a hadar? No. They say, no, it doesn't have to be a color to be hadar. The reason we need to get the green of karti is because until it has the green of karti, it's an immature fruit. So take a look at what, next picture, take a look. Okay, this is karti, next picture. And I'm so upset that we have the light here, but the esrog on the right is almost black. The esrog on the left, you can begin to see on the left-hand side of it a color beginning to develop, a greenish color. There it begins to look like karti. This would be the time when this esrog would also already be kosher. The one on the right would be very dark and not yet the color of karti. Next. So I started looking at karti. And I found some expert here in America who is a botanist, and he sent me this picture. This picture is an ancient species of karti, and we can begin to see that the color of the leaves are not necessarily intense green. There's a portion of the leaves that are intense green, but you can begin to see almost a bluish hue. And not knowing what I wanted it for, he put it against some citron leaves, some esrog leaves. He didn't know even why I wanted it, so you can begin to see even the difference of the color of the bluish green that begins to develop. But I started looking further, and I found an old French species of karti. Next picture. Next. It's an intense purple. The light here doesn't allow you to see it. Intense purple. Next picture. Unretouched picture. Intense blue. Not a light blue. An intense light blue. Next picture. You'll come to my screen later and you'll see that it's an intense blue. Next picture. So therefore, what is Rashi saying? When Rashi talks about this Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov that was sitting in this golden thing with a sarvala dekarti, and Rashi says, it's trelet. Well, now we understand. The old French leek was an intense light blue. Rashi, of course, says it's doma lekarti, because karti is blue, according to Rashi. Next picture. When Rashi says tchelet is the color of the night sky, or the sky as it appears tonight, well, he's clearly not talking about the orange. So what color is Rashi talking about? He's not talking about black. Rashi is talking about some sort of a light color that's exactly the same color of the karti that he had in France in his day, that's very similar to the next picture, the midday sky. So I want to say like this, it's very clear. You ask any child, this is, I think the Ritziner says it, what color is the color of Tcheles? Himmel blue. The color of the sky. This is the Masoret Yisrael. The Rambam says it black and white. The Ramban says it black and white. So when Rashi, though, is talking about green, Rashi's talking about blue. And I think it's a way to understand this, because there are many people that, you know, that can argue about tchelet. What color is it? We can't wear tchelet because we don't know exactly what color it is. So with green, it's a very significant issue, and I hope that I've been able to elucidate a little bit what the color of tchelet is. I just want to say one more thing. Amutat Petil Tchelet, our organization, is a nonprofit organization. Everything we do here is L'Shem Shamayim. Any money that comes into the Amuta is plowed back into education and printing and so on and so forth. And we're just about to embark on a wonderful project. We're going to be building an educational center so we can have groups come to our factory and be able to learn about tzitzit, about tchelet, about colors in the ancient world. Thank you very much for coming, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the afternoon.
So, Dr. Greenspan has somehow managed to make blue black and white. But we're going to allow for one or two questions, so please, go ahead.
Just one point of confusion. You said that the fluid as it comes out is clear, yeah. And yet you showed the pan with it being black.
Okay, so what happens is the fluid comes out of the animal and goes through...
Use the microphone, Ari, please.
The fluid comes out of the animal and goes through an enzymatic process. And it's very complicated, this whole thing. Because as you saw in the dyeing, also it goes through this color process where when it's in solution, it looks green. So there are two actual processes that happen to this color. One is during the dyeing, and one is receiving the color from the snail. And as it comes out of the snail with a combination of oxygen and light, it goes through this color process, enzymatic process, that goes through these stages, literally from clear to yellowish. There's a little bit of green, from green to bluish, bluish to deep dark purple. When it reaches that final deep dark purple state, that's the final state. And that's the thing that I showed you there. And it's actually very interesting, because the Gemara talks about kol de'itbe nafish tvei. When you extract this dye, you get a much better dye if you extract it from a live animal. Well, if we understand the enzymatic process, if you take a dead snail, those enzymes have decomposed already, and therefore you don't get the same quality of dye. You may get a lesser quality of dye.
Can we just allow for other questions just so we get a chance? Yes.
I'd like to ask you. You pointed out that Rashi refers to the evening sky.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of colors there, and you picked out the one color.
I didn't pick out one color, but it's very clear that le'et erev. Okay, I look at it every Motzei Shabbos in Efrat, I look at the sky and I see that you have the deep dark blue sky, which turns black, but there's bands of light blue. What color did Rashi exactly say? I can't tell you.
Yeah, but my question is, you said that it's the color, or the same color as the midday sky.
I didn't say it's the same color. I said it's very similar. Those colors are very, very similar.
Okay, why didn't Rashi specify the midday sky?
I can't tell you. I can't tell you, but Rashi's the only Rishon, the only person that equates this with the night sky. Nobody else equates it with the night sky. Why Rashi said that, I can't tell you.
One more? Questions? Okay. On that point, we'll refer you to our latest Kuntres number 11. We put out every year a Kuntres. It's really, really good stuff, especially if you're tired and want to fall asleep. This might help. But if you want to learn something, Be'emet Be'iyun, in particular, their first one in this year's Vayah Lachem LeTzitzit, starts out with more midrashic material, and there he discusses that Rashi, and mentions also about the fact that Tchelet refers to Yetziat Mitzrayim and the death in the Yetziat Mitzrayim and the Shakul, the death and so on, and that somehow connects to the black. But thank you very much, Dr. Greenspan, and we look forward to many more Chidushim from you in the future.